Hi, Reno. Welcome to Express Yourself on Katie and Kay. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me about your work and specifically Cynthia.
Well, thank you, Abby.
You are a marble sculptor, and you were chosen as a part of the Carbondale Public Arts Art Around Town 2019 cohort. For those that are unfamiliar with you and your work, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm born and raised in Denver, Colorado. I went to school in Europe at the Academy of Fine Arts in Florence on an exchange program to the University of Northern Colorado. I was there for about 6 months, and I went into jewelry first. I was a teacher in the Denver Public Schools. Then I opened a studio, and my first jewelry studio started in 1980, and so I build jewelry, and I still do that to this day. I work in both sculpture and jewelry. And I don't just do marble, but I have done marble pieces. I work in bronze and aluminum casting, and I'm working on carbon fiber materials right now.
I want to back up a little bit. You say you were a teacher in the Denver Public Schools before you were a jeweler or a sculptor. How did you transition from teaching to jewelry and sculpting?
Well, I was at the University of Northern Colorado. I got a degree in teaching, a fine art education and fine arts. And so I taught fine arts in the Denver Public Schools at several of the middle schools and several of the high schools for about 4 years. And then I transitioned into one day just saying, okay, time to go open a studio and do my own work. And that's what I did. So I left a benefits and a paying job and everything that was really, you know, secure and safety and everything to my first year in business. I made a negative 33 cents an hour working. And then after that time period, you come back, it comes to work and things work and you learn about business. And, you know, it's done that. It's worked out really well, at least for the past 40 years anyway.
Do you find that having jewelry and sculpting as a business is different for you than just being a hobby?
Well, several ways to look at that. There are many people who want to be weekend warriors and create art just on the weekends. There are people who are semi-professionals. They teach, they work, they do things. Or professionally, where you make, you know, 90% of your income comes from the artwork that you produce. And so I think it really just comes down to choice, what a person wants to do. And the arts give you that opportunity. I chose many years ago to go into this professionally. And we define professionally working in the arts by most of your income comes from the work that you do.
Talk to me about your piece here in Carbondale titled Cynthia. I specifically want to know who this piece was named after, and is Cynthia someone you know?
Cynthia was a good friend of mine who is a photography artist, and she's moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan many years ago. We just had a good connection, and as I was doing this piece, I remembered that Cynthia was going through somewhat of a challenging time in life, like we all do. And then this was a pose or the piece that I captured with just watching her deal with life and life challenges. And it's a very, you know, unique piece in that it's kind of a single piece of block of marble. It was all carved from that by taking away the metal, the excess material. And that's just kind of what I ended. It's more of a quiet piece, more of a kind of a what am I going to do next kind of thing, contemplating your life and what's happening to you and what are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's and I know that you have a lot of minimalist work. It feels minimalist, but also a bit provocative. So it's a neat juxtaposition there, I think.
Kind of. We try to take away all of the excess. This particular style of work started in the early 1900s. There are three artists of the time period, and the one I really looked to and whose work I fell in love with was Alexander Archipenko. He is a Serbian-American who, from 1908 to 1950, created one heck of a beautiful body of work. And Alexander did some really incredible things in terms of using space, pushing and pulling concave and convex space and defining the human figures, shapes. Ossip Zadkind and Jacques Lipschitz were the other two that did a lot of work with that. And so I've just kind of followed that body of work and just added to it.
And do you, for your for Cynthia specifically, did your friend sit for you, or did you work off of a photograph, or just memory?
Memory. So, wow. It was just memory, and just the more the statement.
Okay. From start to finish, how long did Cynthia take you?
Probably 8 months.
Wow. And 350 pounds is what Cynthia was listed weighing. How does transportation work for something like that?
Well, you get a lot of help. People, a couple of folks, you know, you can put it together. You can do that. The base is a steel base. I'm sorry. Got something in my throat here.
No problem.
It's a steel base. And then the marble, the stone piece itself is probably, I'd say 150 pounds, 200 pounds max. So, but you just have to be very careful because it can break fairly easily.
Oh, marble breaks pretty easily?
Marble can break, yes. That's the one thing that people don't understand. You just have to be very careful when you're moving it.
Mm-hmm.
Movement, people swinging hammers at it, and ice can damage stone fairly well.
Okay. You're a jeweler as well. Does one jeweler and a sculptor, does one of these lend itself to the other, or do you consider them separate practices for you?
I think that they're both the same. The only difference between jewelry and sculpture is the size of the piece, or what we call scale in the arts. So they're dimensionally, and you think dimensionally, and the type of work that I do, Abby, is in jewelry as well. It's just it's using space, concave, convex surfaces, texture, smooth surfaces, gemstones, things of the earth. I just have a fascination with working with materials. I'm addicted to it.
Hmm. And what goes through your mind when choosing materials for either your jewelry or sculpture?
So there's several things in terms of color, concept, composition, what you're looking for, cost, what your budget is at the time to afford these materials, where are they going to be sold, what's going to happen with them. I didn't know any of that when I first began, but after looking back on it, I can see, you know, many choices that are made in terms of where you're placing work and what's happening. So it's a plethora of things that you kind of work through and you think through, and then you start, you know, basically from just a sketch. I work from sketches to small models. Hmm. I do models in sculpture, and I do models in jewelry, too, out of paper or out of clay and oil-based clay. So that gives me an idea of resolving a lot of issues or ideas that I might have, and then creating a focus so I can create that one piece.
Hmm.
And then from there, I'll go into, I just finished a pair of earrings the other day, silver and turquoise. And we roller printed the silver, so it has a nice rice paper texture to it. And then we have turquoise at the top with some aquamarines on the side. By the same token, I'm working on a life-size piece, three figures right now for a client. Developer here in town, and I'm working in carbon fiber. I made a small 8-inch model of the three figures in wax. So it helps me work through the poses of the faces, the heads, the bodies, the style, the lines, the design, and what kind of gestures those hands are presenting. The piece is called Passages, and it's about welcoming you to live in this community that people are coming to. It's a senior living center. And then living life is one of the figures, and then moving beyond is a third figure. So that the models actually give me a chance to clear away all the noise that's happening in life and then just focus on what is it that we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. And do you enjoy that process of modeling and figuring out what your end piece is going to be, or do you find that sort of a tedious process?
I've fallen in love with it. Now, there are two ways to go about creating pieces. One would be the direct method, where you just work directly in the material. And for me, I have found that I love making models. I just am fascinated by it, what can happen, what can do, what it looks like, and then taking it and putting it in the next material, the gold, silver, bronze, stone, whatever it comes out to. The model kind of helps me. It gives me more of a direction, and there's a sense of security about what I'm doing with it.
Do you have a specific material that you would be drawn to more than others?
No.
No.
I promise I made myself a commitment when I was younger. I kind of share this curiosity thing, which is, you know, I want to learn about all kinds of things, all kinds of materials, all kinds of processes. And so in starting in jewelry, you learn how to work with flat metal, which is called fabrication, and then you learn how to cast, which is taking heating it and melting it and heating it back again to make an object. In sculpture, the stone process is a takeaway process where you're just removing things. In the casting process or the bronze foundry process, it's the same thing as jewelry in terms of casting work. It's lost wax. And now I'm working on something called fiberglass, carbon fiber, which, you know, really adds a dimension to making a material that's glass twill and a material that then is combined with epoxy that's hardened as hard as steel is.
Hmm.
So I just have a fascination with processes and how we create things and how we make things.
It seems like you're a perpetual learner, which is really nice to hear.
Yes, very much so.
So you have ties to the Carbondale area. I read that you attended the first Marble Symposium.
I did.
Right in our backyard. What led you?
1989.
Okay. How did you get here? How did you hear about the symposium? And does it still happen?
I was a member of the Art Students League in Denver. And I was working, trying to figure out how I was going to learn. I had a jewelry store on Old South Gaylord Street in Denver for probably 6-7 years before that. I think I opened up in 9 years before that, in 1980. And I just read an article that said that an individual and a group of people were going to carve marble in Marble, Colorado. And so I thought, oh, well, this would be kind of cool. And I found out more about it, and I decided to go that first year. And the co-founders at the time were Madeline Wiener, Scott Owens, Greg Tanazzi, and Gerald Balfiar, fairly well-known artists in our area. And so I went and learned and worked that summer. It was a 10-day workshop and did that, and then attended several others past that. And, yes, it's still going on to this day. So from 89 to today, it was about 40 years, 35 years, something like that.
Wow. So. Wow. And do you, so you were a teacher. Do you find yourself teaching your practice of sculpting or jewelry at all? Or are you
I take on assistants every now and then. So it's more one-on-one instruction. Mm-hmm. In particular, I'm working with a young man right now, Ethan Schultz. He's in jewelry. He's learning how to do some really nice things, wire wrap work he's got. I have worked with several artists in terms of we were trying to formulate an art center in the city of Aurora, which was not very successful so far. But so I worked with a lot of people in terms of passing on this process, yes.
And last question for you, why is public arts important to you?
Well, public art gives us a chance to kind of, for one, from an artist's point of view, it gives us a place to put our work and share it with the public, which is really important. You could do all this work and build it and then have no place to show it, and it's kind of like, we don't see a lot of work. And these public art programs are popping up all over the country because it's wonderful to share this kind of art concept with members of our society. Two, it makes it creates a sense of space. You find that when I worked on the Public Art Commission for the City of Aurora, one of the things that we found was that people kind of claim the pieces, or they are wayfinding pieces, or you let's meet at the sculpture, or let's meet at this. And so there's kind of a connection there that art is really interwoven in our society, and it really is kind of a cool thing that public art can be adopted, and people will protect it, and people will take care of it. And so it really is interesting to see our society morph and develop into more caring about, you know, what's happening in their community and what's going on, and that really is kind of a nice thing. And public art has a great process in that. I mean, your program in Carbondale, a lot of folks really talk very highly of it, and they do a great job for it.
Well, thank you, Reno, for joining me on Express Yourself. I appreciate you taking the time, and we look forward to seeing your work in the future.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Abby.